This is Monsignor Larry Moran on WHOJ, and we're starting a new series on Keep Holy the Lord's Day, that the Lord's Day may keep us holy and wholesome. Our topic is taken basically from the apostolic letter, The Day of the Lord, Dies Domini, written by Pope John Paul II, perhaps one of the final documents that he wrote before his death. And it talks all about the history and the cultural influences that affect our attendance at Holy Mass, not only in the United States, but across the world. And our guests today to help us discuss Dies Domini, or the Day of the Lord, or as we often call it, the Sabbath Day, Ron Eldred, who is professor at John Paul II Catholic High. He teaches history, U.S. history, world history, and of course, religion. So Ron, welcome to our program and the first of a series on what we can better understand about this great gift of God, the Day of the Lord, or the seventh day. Perhaps we could start with just the question. There seems to be a declining attendance at Holy Mass, not only in the United States, but across the world. And some people talk about one of the great reasons for this is a loss of belief in the Eucharistic presence. So could we just start out about a little bit, do we have any statistics about declining attendance at Holy Mass on Sunday or Saturday night over the past several decades?
Yes, I have quite a few statistics that I've been able to gather in this regard. According to the Center for Applied Research in the Apostolate, the acronym is CARA, C-A-R-A, that's how I'll refer to them after this. This is located at Georgetown University, which is a Catholic university, a Jesuit school in Washington, D.C. And they take polls regularly on various matters dealing with the Catholic faith. And they took three polls from 2000 to 2003, which indicated on average that 33% of Catholics said they attended Mass every week. The researchers assumed that the less frequent attendees were relatively random in their attendance, adding an estimated 9% to that.
That came sometimes on weekly and sometimes biweekly.
Right.
Okay.
And so this brought up the average to about 41%,
okay,
which is consistent with a Gallup survey in the year 2003 that found on average only 40% of Catholics said they attended Mass within 7 days of being surveyed. CARA's information was obtained in a series of 10 national random sample telephone polls of adult Catholics. They claim that attendance, this is CARA now, they claim that attendance had not changed much over the survey period, that is over that 3-year period.
Okay.
Which disputes the perception that Catholics are turning away from the Church in large numbers in recent years, especially in light of the recent clergy sexual abuse scandal. And I know I heard a lot about a rapid decline in the Church, a Mass attendance in the last 3 or 4 years. And this may be true in places like Boston. I think that there really was a real downturn in Church attendance there, but I think overall, throughout the country where these 10 polls were taken, it seemed to held fairly steady.
It was kind of across the country that the polls were taken.
Right.
Okay.
But nonetheless, the statistics are very poor compared with Mass attendance 4 decades ago. For example, data collected by the Gallup organization indicates that Catholic Mass attendance has been in a precipitous decline since 1957-1958, when 74% of Catholics reported attending weekly Mass within 7 days of the survey.
Okay, so almost three-fourths were attending in 57 and 58. Obviously, that's before the council got started, too. And our statistics right now are about 41%. What proportion would that be?
Two-fifths, I believe.
Okay, two-fifths. All right. So, obviously, statistics vary from place to place and the like, but these are certainly general indications that there is a somewhat a real decline.
Yes.
Okay. Do you have any statistics about the difference in age attendance at Mass or generation differences?
Well, these are certainly the most significant data. In fact, it's the most significant matter in explaining the long-term decline in Mass attendance. The decline can be explained largely by the death of older Catholics who attend Mass more often being gradually replaced by new young adult Catholics who attend Mass much less often.
Okay, that's an interesting observation.
Yes. In its research, Karas says that it uses three generational categories relevant to Catholics. These include pre-Vatican II generation, the Vatican II generation, and the post-Vatican II generation. First, let's take a look at the pre-Vatican II generation and define who Kara considers these to be. These were born before 1943. Catholics that were born before 1943, and they came of age in a period prior to the changes of the Second Vatican Council and tend to exhibit high levels of institutional loyalty to the Church.
Okay.
The second group was the Vatican II generation. These are members of the Church who were born between 1943 and 1960 and encompass the groups that came of age during a time of profound change in the Catholic Church, and I might add society as a whole. Overlapping the generation more widely known as the baby boomers, actually.
Okay.
These Catholics attended entered adulthood during a time of great questioning of civic and cultural institutions, and I might add, of course, of the Church itself.
Okay.
Then they identify this third group, the post-Vatican II generation. They were born after 1960. They include the largest numbers of adult Catholics, about half, who have no experience of the Catholic Church prior to the Second Vatican Council. And due to its disproportionate size, Kara divides this group into two parts. Those older than 30, and one of these, the other, between 18 and 30. So they divide that group into two parts.
Okay, so the Vatican Council was from 62 to 65, I believe.
Right.
And so we're talking now about the Vatican II generation, but they said they wanted to divide them because they thought they could get a clearer picture.
Yes, this is the post-Vatican II. These are
post-Vatican II.
These were the ones born after, or at least during, but were too little to know what was going on.
Okay, so they were the ones really influenced by the Vatican II, and also of all the cultural, as you mentioned, and civic changes going on at the time. Okay, well, how about, let's talk about these two divisions of the post-Vatican II generation.
Well, according to Kara Research Associate Mark M. Gray, he's a PhD in probably sociology, in 2003, slightly more than 20% of post-Vatican II generation Catholics say they attended Mass at least once a week or more. By comparison, 52% of the pre-Vatican II generation Catholics and 38% of Vatican II generation Catholics report weekly a Mass attendance. And he says that the levels of attendance by these generations are unchanged from Kara's September 2000 poll. He also says that there is, quote him here, there is no evidence that the Mass attendance of younger or older Catholics changed after allegations of clergy sexual abuse entered the news. However, stark generational differences in Mass attendance are evident that may in part reflect changes in the way Catholic teachings were communicated prior to and after the Second Vatican Council.
All right, so again, he's reiterating, it doesn't seem to be statistically evident that the scandals as they hit the news in the last 3 years made a real change, perhaps, as you mentioned, Boston or places, pockets, but that wasn't the real basis for people not attending mass. Yes. They didn't stop attending mass.
Right, there is an overall decline taking place, but he doesn't think it's due to this a scandal.
Okay, as bad as it was.
Yes, as bad as it was. In other words, it had to do more, he thinks, in the way Catholic teachings were communicated or not communicated prior to and after the Second Vatican Council.
Okay, so we're talking about this post-Vatican II generation that born after 1960.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, he says something here about the pre-Vatican II generation. Catholics grew up in an era where deliberately failing to attend Sunday Mass or other days of obligation without good reason was quite clearly communicated as a mortal sin and taught to be a mortal sin. For the Vatican II and the post-Vatican II generations, this has not been emphasized to the same degree. In fact, I might add, probably hardly at all.
I don't think there's any question about that, at least from my understanding as a parish priest. We were so indoctrinated about keep holy the Lord's Day. It is a serious sin, unless you have a serious reason to miss, and you don't want to commit a mortal sin. Well, I didn't want to commit a mortal sin. I don't think anybody else did either. But it certainly dropped off preaching that in any strong way.
Right.
Okay.
Just to summarize quickly what we've said so far then is that, without getting into the actual statistics again, is that from 1957-58, when close to 75%, three-fourths of Catholics attended Mass weekly, we've gone now in a period of, about 40 years?
40 years.
Four decades, down to around only 40% attending Mass. And that's largely accounted for by older generations dying off and new generations taking their place who are just simply not attending Mass nearly to the degree that the older generations did, partly because they don't believe it's a mortal sin anymore.
Okay, because it was hardly ever emphasized about the seriousness of it.
Right.
I think that's why Pope John Paul II wrote that apostolic letter to say, look, let's go back for 3,000 years from the very beginning of the Ten Commandments given to Moses on Mount Sinai. And the third commandment is keep holy the Lord's Day. And how that's always been stressed in Judaism, the Sabbath, and then for 2,000 years in the Catholic Church. But that we really have lost the seriousness of it. And I think Pope John Paul II was trying to help us get a big, broad understanding of why it's so important for ourselves. You know, the Lord's Day is not really for God. It's for us that we can take time to do the things we need to do.
No, he certainly doesn't need our praise and what have you.
Right. Well, I think Jesus said, you know, to the Pharisees, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath, because they were overstressing the idea of kind of scrupulously don't walk too far and don't lift any too much wood by building a fire and things like that. Okay. Well, you think that the declining belief of the generation that was raised during and after Vatican Council II has a real connection with declining belief in the real, what we Catholics call the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist?
Yes, I think there's a direct relationship.
Do you have any statistics on that?
Yes.
Any studies?
As I said, I think the two problems are certainly related. And there's a Gallup poll in 1992. The majority of Catholics are confused, this poll tells us, that the majority of Catholics are confused in their beliefs about Christ's presence in the Eucharist. This was a statement from the poll itself.
Okay.
And here are the statistics. Only 30% in this 1992 poll of Catholics believed that they were really and truly receiving the body, blood, soul, and divinity the Lord Jesus Christ under the appearances of bread and wine. Only 30%. This is 1994.
Okay.
29% believe that they're receiving bread and wine that symbolize the body and blood of Jesus. You'll see later on we're going to talk a little bit about transignification and transfinalization.
So for many centuries, since the Protestant Reformation, that has been a common belief among good Protestants that the presence of Jesus it's symbolized
somehow
in some
symbolically
way.
Present, yes. Mm-hmm. And we'll look at that a little more closely later.
Okay.
So this accounts, we've got 30, 29, here's another 10%. Believe that they receive bread and wine in which Jesus is also present. Okay. That's the Lutheran view, basically. It's called by theologians consubstantiation.
Okay.
And then 24% believe they're receiving what has become Christ's body and blood because of their personal belief.
Now, say a word about that. What does that mean? It becomes the body and blood of Christ because of my personal belief.
Well, that could be anything. I mean, it depends on what your personal belief is. Some may believe that we receive the bread and the consecrated bread, but you don't really believe it's Christ's body, literally. It has not been transformed or transubstantiated. Yet at the same time...
So I feel a real special connection with Jesus,
yeah,
because I'm thinking of the Last Supper.
Or you can think in terms that he's somehow specially present among us here. When two or three gather in my name, I'm sure to be amongst them. That idea. It could be, you know, anything.
Okay.
It could be one in 100 different ways of conceptualizing.
All right, but it's
that.
Because of my belief.
Right.
That the presence of the Lord is somehow there.
And not some objective reality.
Not in reality.
Just outside of my own thinking or my own mind or whatever. I choose to make it or to believe or whatever.
I remember specifically I was talking to a very highly educated Catholic one time. And he said, I was taking communion. Well, it actually was the priest several years ago, and he eventually left the priesthood. But he said, I was taking communion to the sick, and I realized that I had ran out of consecrated hosts. So I just gave the sick person an unconsecrated host that I had with me, because after all, his belief is what put the real presence there.
Mm-hmm.
And we obviously had quite a discussion on that.
Yeah, hopefully.
but I think that's illustrating what you're trying to say. So let's summarize those statistics that we're saying, at least in the Gallup poll, the majority of Catholics were really confused about this belief, a fundamental belief of Christ's true presence, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist, and perhaps only 20, how many percent?
30% so. Any well-informed Catholic will recognize that only the first option, the 30%, that believe that in the host, that 30% really and truly believe they were receiving Christ's body, blood, soul, and divinity when they received Holy Communion.
So just roughly a third...
Yes.
Of Catholics that were polled believed clearly what the Catechism of the Catholic Church would restate for us in modern terms to help us know what the Church teaches.
Well, keep in mind, this is 1992.
Okay.
Here we are 12, 13, 14, 15 years from then. I suspect that it's even gotten worse. I don't know where that's gotten much worse, but because I haven't seen it. I couldn't find any statistics on that. This subject for 2005-06 through there, but nonetheless, that's still pretty bad, obviously.
Here's another story I could tell you. A young girl about, I think she was about fourth grade, she was walking to Holy Communion, and she turned around to her mother, and she said, "May I receive from the cup at Mass?" And the mother said to her, "Well, yes, if you believe it's the body and blood of the Lord." And she said, "Oh, not really." And her mother said, "Yes, really." So another simple example of what these statistics are kind of indicating for us.
Yes.
Well, okay.
So the other side of the coin is only 70% of the Catholics have some kind of erroneous view of the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist.
Okay. Now, every Sunday when we come to Mass, Ron, the priest says, let us proclaim the mystery of faith. So we are dealing with one of the most profound mysteries of our faith. And we're saying at least these statistics seem to indicate that we've really got some good work to do to inform ourselves better about the clear doctrinal teaching of the Church about this mystery of faith.
Yes.
Okay. Are there significant differences in age in these statistics about belief in the real presence of Jesus?
Oh, yes. In fact, the problem increases dramatically among younger Catholics. According to a more recent New York Times CBS poll of Catholics who attend Mass regularly, the number of Catholics who accept the real presence decreases as age decreases. For example, age 65 and over, 51% believe in the real presence. That's not very good.
Okay.
But then age 45 to 64, 37% believe in the real presence. Age 30 to 44, only 28% believe in the real presence. And then you get down to the age group 18 to 29, only 17% believe in the real presence. So, 70% of this last age group, I got to add this about that last group between 18 and 29, where only 17% believe in the real presence. But 70% of that group, that is those between 18 and 29, believe that the Eucharist is just a symbol.
Okay.
What does this tell us about how we have been passing the faith on to our children? Only one in six accept the fundamental doctrine of the real presence. I think this loss of faith among young and old alike explains the tremendous lack of devotion, reverence, and appreciation so many Catholics show at Mass and at Holy Communion. Also, as I said earlier, I think it is the main reason Mass attendance has declined so precipitously during the past four decades. And I think even many of those who attend are not reverent or know what is going on.
With reference to that, I have a good priest friend who's even older than I, if you believe that can be, who said, sometimes I think people act like they're waiting in line for a pizza when they're going up to Holy Communion. Now, that obviously, I think, would hopefully be the exception, but if I can give that impression, or somebody gives that impression, that certainly is a reminder to us that we've got some work to do. I see many people go to Holy Communion very devoutly, and I'm really inspired. But other people are looking around and just seemingly, while I'm just waiting my turn. I remember when the bishop came a few years ago, and one of the things he suggested to us is, next time I come for confirmation, tell the students that they shouldn't be chewing gum when they come up to get confirmed. That is just not the proper reverent thing to do. And if that's true for confirmation, obviously it's also true, especially for Holy Communion,
sure,
when we're trying to receive the body and blood of the Lord. Well, do you think, Ron, that this is just an American problem, or do we have any understanding or statistics about other nations?
Well, compared to other countries, the United States is still pretty religious. The people in this country are still pretty religious overall, both Catholics and Protestant, comparatively speaking. Compared to the people of France, for example, or Italy. You think of Italy and France as being Catholic countries and very devout and this, that, and that's not true. It hasn't been for a long time. You think of countries like Holland, for example, hasn't been a Catholic country, you know, for many, many centuries, since the time of the Reformation. It's just absolutely terrible. For example, Holland, it has one of the lowest records of Mass attendance. According to Caskey.
On Sunday or Saturday night.
On Sundays, right. Mm-hmm. According to Caskey, that's the Catholic Social Ecclesiastical Institute in Holland. In the whole country, only 9% of the faithful attend Mass on Sundays.
Wow.
That's an average throughout the whole country. Mm-hmm. Some areas of the larger cities, only 3% attend Sunday Mass. For example, the large industrial town of Eindhoven, where the Philips giant, you know, that makes the Philips TVs and all that kind of thing.
Electronical International.
Yes. In fact, I knew a guy that used to work for them. He was a marketing manager, was a kind of a friend of mine and business associate. Only 6% of the people attend Mass on Sundays in this, and that's a Catholic area. Of Holland. To quote Father John Hardin, probably the greatest catechist of the 20th century, and former spiritual director to Mother Teresa and her nuns, and I might add, at one time he was on the board of advisors or directors for Seton, the academy that John Paul II Catholic High that I teach at here locally, located at, obviously, I mean in this building. Was on the board of advisors until his death in
for Seton out in Front Royal, Virginia.
Yes.
Okay, that's the mothership for all the.
And it's the organization that we're affiliated with, the school that we're affiliated with. He was on the board of that school until his death. But according to him, quote, I'm quoting him here: in the United States alone, over 150 parishes have been closed in just three dioceses within the last few years. Most of the once flourishing Catholic elementary and secondary schools have been closed. Catholic seminarians in our country have dropped by 90% in the last 30 years. Attendance at Sunday Mass is not, in not a few dioceses, has dropped from 50 to 80% since the close of Vatican II. Behind this phenomenon is the loss of faith among so many once believing Roman Catholics. We could take Terre Haute, for example, here locally, and look at how it was, let's say, 30 or 40 years ago, and look at a Catholic hospital and seven or eight Catholic grade schools and a Catholic high school and on and on and on and on. I've done that before, and we have a rather long list, and see how that's changed today.
Okay. Well, we're coming towards the close of our program, Ron. So I think the one thing we've been trying to help ourselves understand and our listeners, that there has been a real decline in Catholic attendance at a Mass on Sunday or Saturday night. And a part of it seems basically rooted in a loss of faith, particularly in the real presence of the Eucharist. So maybe next time we can start with what are some things causing this? What are the cultural and reasons that sociological reasons seem to bring this about? Well, this almost concludes our program. So we've been talking about the apostolic letter, Dies Domini, the Day of the Lord, written by our Holy Father, Pope John Paul II, talking about the importance of the third commandment, keep holy the Lord's Day, so the Lord's Day can keep us holy. So hope we'll be back once again in our next segment on Dies Domini, the Day of the Lord. May God bless you and keep you.